preaching through the book of 1 John. And I've titled this Chaos to Clarity. Because when we open up the book of 1 John, we find out that there was these people that had come into the church and they had split the church apart. They believed all these things about Jesus that weren't very accurate. They were maybe partially accurate, but not totally accurate. And so chaos ensues in this church. And then John writes a letter to this church straightening things out. And I mentioned last week that we come across the word know. We know, we know, we know over and over again as John is bringing back in a chaotic place clarity. We can know. We can know. And I don't know about you, but when I look around the planet today, there's a lot of reason for us to feel things are chaotic. There's chaos. But if we would take 1 John and we would apply it for ourselves, we would come away from this book saying, we know, we know, we know. We don't have to live our lives in chaos. Our internal state of affairs does not need to be in chaos. And so Caleb is going to come and he's going to read the scripture for us this morning. So if you have your Bible, open it up to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, and we're going to read right through verse 11. It's the New Living Translation, and the words will be on the screen as well.
And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one that you've had from the very beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before. Yes, or yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you are also living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. If anyone claims, I am living in the light, but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness.
Thank you, Caleb. I told you that in the book of John, the word to know is mentioned over and over and over again. I think it's about 40-some times. But there's at least two different kinds of knowing. One is the knowing of 2 plus 2. 2 plus 2 is 4. 3 plus 3. 4 plus 4. You guys are good. That's knowing. We know that 2 plus 2 is always 4. 3 plus 3 is always 6. We know that. But we don't have a personal relationship with 2 plus 2 and 3 plus 3 and 4 plus 4. As a matter of fact, it would make no difference to us if 3 plus 3 equals 7, as long as it always equaled 7. We don't really care. So that's one kind of knowing. And that kind of knowing also happens in many other different areas of life. An example that I can think of is, you know, before I met and married my wife, Alyssa, I knew some things about divorce. I knew that divorce was something that wasn't good. I knew that divorce had lasting impacts on a family. And I saw it merely as a statistic. But when I met my wife, who had experienced a nasty divorce and who had been mistreated and who had suffered, it was no longer something I knew that was 2 plus 2 equals 4. It was now someone. It was someone I cared about, someone that I came to love. It reminds me of another example. You know, we hear lots of things about addiction and the results of addiction in people's lives, and we can think of it as a statistic. That is until you meet someone. And it reminds me this week we had someone over at our home, and this person was going through the Adult and Teen Challenge program. And as they sat in our living room, they told us how they had lived on the streets for 2 years in Winnipeg, and how night after night they had walked through the darkness and almost froze out there by themselves time and time again. See, you can know something, or you can have an experience, a relationship. And as we sat in the living room with that person, I just thought, you know, when I drive through the streets of Winnipeg, I'll probably never do that quite the same. Because now I know, I have experienced relationship with someone who lived that life. So we can know 2 + 2 = 4, or we can know, have relationship with someone. You see, God is inviting us not to just know that he's real. We spent a lot of time talking about that last week, how to know God who is real is the most important thing on this planet. But not only in the sense of that being 2 + 2 = 4. God is inviting us to know him, the one who is real, as an experience, to share life with this God, and this God shares life with us, to know. So John would start off with telling us that when it comes to relationship with God, we can be sure that we know him, or we can know that we know him. Because if knowing God is the most important thing, it is the most intrinsically important thing about who we are as human, if that's true, then that means it's very important that we know God. This isn't talking about the 2 + 2 = 4 kind of relationship. Why would it be important that we know God? One reason is, John is writing to this early church. This early church is actually split apart because some people in the church are spreading false ideas about who God is. And so now the people are split apart. There's two different groups. There's probably fighting. There's an important reason that we know God. Another reason is that some of us are unsure if we know God. Some of us, we look at our past and we maybe don't think that we're good enough. We think maybe, you know what, I haven't confessed every sin today, and I don't know if I know God. Or we feel tempted and we say, I don't know if I know God. And so sometimes we are a little bit unsure, and so out of assurance, we give our lives to Jesus over and over again. I mean, as a kid growing up in a Christian home, I was like that. You wouldn't know how many altar calls I raised my hand in to know Jesus. Because I was not sure. I wasn't sure if I had the right combination of feelings to know if I knew God. But the other reason it's very important that we know who God is because some of us sometimes we're very sure that we know God. We are so sure that we actually deceive ourselves and we don't actually know him. That's actually what's happening in the early church because these teachers that are spreading false things about Jesus, they think they have the message of God. They're convinced of that. They think they know God. But John is writing and he's saying, actually, you don't know God. Some of us, we have these crazy supernatural experiences and we claim we know God. Maybe we preach, we claim we know God. We have a big ministry. We preach. We say, I know God. John is going to help us. He's going to tell us, I'm going to help you know that you know God. As I said, there's been a church split, and this group is leading people astray, very likely. But if we're honest with ourselves, we're maybe going to say, you know, that's not me. Like, I can't do that. If we're honest, we're going to be willing to say, it's possible that I can be deceived in my relationship with God. that I can be easily led astray, that, you know, as I look at myself, I can tell stories to myself that'll make me believe that I'm good. John is going to help us. You can know that you know. Because the early teachers, they were teaching things like that Jesus was God in the flesh, that Jesus was God in the flesh, but that he wasn't really born to a virgin. That Jesus was not truly God. That Jesus did not truly atone for our sins. And I wonder if we sometimes tell ourselves stories about God that are incomplete. Or if we look out into the world, stories that the world tells about God. Things like this. You know what? I hope it all works out with the old man upstairs. Or, God is love. He's loving. So as long as two of us agree that what we're going to do is good, it's certainly in the will of God. So we'll move in together. We'll sleep together. Or, God is a God of love. You know what? No matter what I do, he'll forgive me. See, there's partial truth to these truths about God. Or, you know what? Since God is a God of love, all paths lead to the same destination. Or, someone passes away, and at the funeral we take comfort and we use the name of God and we talk about him and we say, you know what? I'm so grateful, and we talk in ways, but we haven't asked ourselves the question, are we doing as God asks us to do? So John gives us some diagnostic tests. He says, you can know that you know Christ. John is certainly talking to the false teachers, but John is certainly talking to us as well. Because if all we leave today is with this idea that, you know what, I can look around and find faults in everybody else, those false teachers out there, and I can get them fixed, we would be missing something very important. This test should be a test that you and I run in our own hearts. It's very easy to look out and to find everyone else who isn't following Jesus correctly. It takes a great deal of integrity for us to look in our own heart and ask ourselves the question, am I a follower of Jesus? Do I know that I know God? We all come here on a Sunday morning. We all look very Christian on a Sunday morning. We all look like followers of Jesus. We raise our hands in the front, we bow our heads, and we pray. But do we know that we know God? We ask these questions all the time. Who's authentic? Who's inauthentic? As I mentioned last week, we're always asking the question as we buy products at the store, what's real? What's in that ketchup? Actually tomatoes or something different? like the ginger ale as well. We ask ourselves the question about ice cream. Is my ice cream made with real ingredients or modified milk ingredients? Verse 3, and we can be sure that we know him, that is, that we know God, if we obey his commandments. We can be sure that we know God if we obey his commandments. If you were with us last week, we opened up to the first chapter of 1 John, and we heard ways in which John is saying, you can know what's real. You can know what it means to follow God. He says, we shouldn't deny our sin. We shouldn't say we're sinless. We must walk in the light. We must confess our sins. And it's like John comes to us as someone who wants to see us be a faithful people, tried and true for the Lord Jesus. And he shines his flashlight, angle after angle after angle after angle. And so today we pick up with one more angle. We will obey God. You want to know that you know God? Run the test. Do you obey him? Some of us, perhaps when we hear this, we're suddenly overwhelmed with like, but do I obey him enough? Do I obey him in every way? How could I possibly obey him? I mean, am I meant to be sin-free? And exactly how does this look? I would suggest that we think of it like this, as a relationship. I mentioned to you that I knew some statistics about divorce and how divorce was harmful to a family. But until I met someone who had been divorced and who had suffered, it was only statistic. I knew. But now I really know. Now I know and love a family who has been impacted by divorce. So maybe think of our relationship with God like that. We don't want to know him like a 2+2. We want to know him. We want to, when we wake up in the morning, be thinking about him. We want to, our heart beating after him, loving him, wanting him, opening our Bibles up, finding time to pray, seeking him, looking for him. Think of it as a relationship, not an absolutely perfect score of how many commandments of Jesus I keep, but a heart that yearns and loves and aches for life itself. I think of that with my wife, Alyssa. We did end up getting married. And yesterday was actually her birthday. Oh, thank you. Now, am I a perfect husband? No. But as I thought about my wife and planned, I began to do things in preparation for the birthday. I went to the mall and I bought things. I cared about my wife. Now, would my wife find any fault in her husband? Absolutely. But you see, we have a loving relationship, one that cares for each other, one that thinks for each other, one that is moved to action for each other. Think in the same way with God. Keep my commandments. You see, if all I did was, you know, sat at home and thought about all the things I could do for my wife's birthday, and never went to the mall and never purchased anything, and yesterday, when it's her birthday, I come out and I say, you know what? I thought about you all week. You know, I just want to express my love for you for all the things I think I could have purchased for you. Then the question could be asked, how much do I actually love my wife? Am I moved to action for my wife? And I can't miss this opportunity because there's a young man in the back here whose birthday is today. Matthew is his name. But Matthew is a loved man. There's going to be people in his life that are planning something for him today. They are going to do things for Matthew because they love him. So we might ask ourselves the same with the Lord Jesus. Not perfection, not absolutely perfect, but do we love him enough that we are keeping his commandments? And so some days, when you wake up, you may not feel like you love God as much as you think you should. But perhaps for those of us that doubt and wonder, we can ask ourselves a diagnostic test. Am I keeping his commandments? Am I opening up my Bible? Am I talking to my fellow brothers and sisters? Are we sharing in a life of God together? Do I ache for it? Am I moving toward God? We can be assured we know God if we keep his commandments. It is very important because there will be people at the judgment who will talk to Jesus, or rather, Jesus will talk to them. We find this in Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You see, we can know about God, but do we know him? Does he know us? John says, if we say, I know God, but do not do his commands, we are liars. The truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. Do you know what the truth is? The truth is Jesus. The truth is Jesus. Maybe we should ask ourselves today, do I obey Jesus? Because if the answer is yes, we can know we are living in God. Those who say, says verse 6, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. John keeps coming at this angle after angle after angle. Probably most of us, when we hear this verse, we're again overwhelmed with the complexity of this. How could I possibly live my life like Jesus? But I think it would be more accurate if we come to this verse simply. Do the people around you, do they say of you, Mark is becoming more like Jesus? Josh is becoming more like Jesus. That is the test of whether our relationship with God is real. But still, perhaps we're overwhelmed with this, just unsure of, but all those commandments, how can I possibly know if I'm doing them all? John makes it quite simple for us when we get to the next half of our passage. Maybe John's anticipating that his listeners will be like, all the commandments. John makes it simple. He says, is it too complex for you? Listen to this. Dear friends, I am not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have had from the very beginning. This old commandment, to love one another, is the same message you heard before, yet it is also new. John is reminding his listeners that how do we love God? We love our brothers and sisters. Who are our brothers and sisters? The people you're sitting beside today. It's very, very simple. How do we love God? We do what he says. And what is doing what God says? It is loving the brothers and sisters sitting right beside you today. Not so many commandments that none of us can figure it out. One simple command. Love the brothers and sisters sitting beside you today. But John reminds his audience that this command to love our brothers and sisters, it's not new. It's been around for thousands and thousands of years. You can find it if you open up your Bible to Leviticus 19. You can find it there, verse 17. Do not nurse hatred in your heart for any of your relatives. Confront people directly so you will not be held guilty for their sin. Listen, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. A few verses later, verse 33, do not take advantage of foreigners who live among you in your land. Treat them like native-born Israelites and love them as you love yourself. And then in verse 8, John tells us, Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. Jesus is fulfillment of this command. It's an old one, but it's a new one. It's new because this new commandment is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus Christ tells us? Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew 5, he says, you've heard the law say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. And then he says at the end, so also you should do. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. You see, Jesus takes an old command and Jesus becomes human. It and God at the same time. And Jesus lives out this command of loving others. And then says, you also do the same. This is an old command, but a new command. For the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. You see, the darkness of hate and evil, it's disappearing because the light, who's the light? Jesus is here. Jesus is shining the light. Jesus came into the world. Jesus is the light of the world. If anyone claims I am living in the light but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. It is impossible to say, I follow God, or I live in the way of God, or I do what God asks, or God knows me and I know him. It's impossible for us to say those things, says John, and hate a fellow believer. See, this isn't complicated. The people beside us today, how do we feel about them? How are we treating them? That is the test of an authentic relationship with God. So simple, yet so difficult. I wonder why John would say that the test of relationship with God is our love for each other. You see, it's not a list of rules. It's not necessarily going through the Bible and finding every rule and taking a score and being, I got 51%. Doing pretty good, I think. One, do you love your brother or sister beside you? And I wonder if John would give us that, because he knows that there is no list of rules that's going to help you reach that goal. You know what's going to help you reach that goal of loving your brother and sister? The only way you will do that is to be in fellowship with God. Because, as a matter of fact, it's sometimes more easy to love the person on the outside. Have you noticed that in family? How you can love the stranger and invite them to your dinner, and then at the same time, you're just flipping mad at your own family member sitting beside you. The more we get to know each other, the harder it is to love each other. So John would say, do you love your family, your brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ? That is the mark of authentic relationship with God. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. A real relationship with Jesus has real results, real obedience, and real love. For those of us that doubt, we can rest assured today that if we obey him, that is, obey his commands, we know God, and God knows us. Because there's two kinds of knowing. There's the one where we know about God. 2 + 2 = 4. The other kind is where we experientially live with God, us in God and God in us. We can know that we know him. If today you love the followers of Jesus sitting beside you, you are in the path of God's light. How much do you genuinely love those sitting around you today? We can come in here on a Sunday and we can lift our hands up. We can bow our heads. We can worship together. But the test of true faith is, do we love the people around us? My grandmother, who I told you about, recently passed away. One of the things that was said about her at her funeral was she found the people that seemed to fit into society the least. She found the people that others didn't necessarily care to hang out with, and she spent time with them. Would that be said of you today and of me today? Do we seek out those among us who don't fit into the culture? Would it be said of us, do we love our brothers and sisters? Because that is the measure of your relationship with God. The test is simple. Obey God. And how do you do that? You love your brother and sister. Because a real relationship with Jesus has real results, real obedience, and real love. I'm going to invite the team up at this time. And as the team comes up, I'm going to invite us just to think about the simplicity of this. The simplicity, yet the difficulty of this. And I'm going to ask us to prepare our hearts before the Lord and just say, Lord, speak to me. Here I am, your servant, your follower. I want to obey you. I want to live with you. Show me how to love my brother and my sister. So as the team plays quietly, just feel free to just spend a few minutes with the Lord. Talk to him about your brother and your sister. Maybe he's going to bring someone to your mind. Maybe there's something you're going to do after church today in how you treat a brother or a sister. Lord Jesus, warm our hearts for what makes your heart happy. Lord, help us to obey your commands, because then we know that we know you. We can reassure our hearts when we doubt that. Lord Jesus, teach us to love our brothers and sisters, to love so deeply, a love that doesn't stop at anything, a love that is like your love, a love that suffers and dies for your own people. Help us adopt the mindset and the thinking of the Lord Jesus, so that it could be said of us at Transformation Church, it was clear that they knew God. Perhaps today, as your head is bowed, you're thinking, but I don't know if I know, or I've never encountered him. I've never talked to him. I'm going to invite you in this moment to change that today in your life, to talk to God, to know him, to experience him, to say, I want to follow you. I want to obey you. I want to learn to love my neighbor. I want to surrender over my own way of doing things, my own will, and give it over to you, to surrender who I am and my way so that I can be with you. Because Jesus died for us. He died for us because we do things our own way, and our own way always leads to death. Jesus came and died a death for you and me so that we could have life in him. Would you like that life today? Would you like to live for eternity with the one who made you? That is real life. If that's you today and you're saying, I'm turning away from my way of doing things and I'm turning to God, I'm leaving behind my stuff and I'm taking on God's way, I want to be used by you, Lord, however you want. Here I am, your servant. And I'm going to ask you in this moment to say this prayer with me. Feel free to repeat it in your heart or out loud. Lord Jesus, here I am. Lord, here I am, broken and run down. Here I am, sinful. Here I am, having done things my own way. Lord Jesus, I turn from that and I turn toward you. I want you. I want your life. I need your help. Forgive me and cleanse me. Teach me to follow you. I surrender. Lord, use me to bring healing and peace to those in this world who do not know you. If that was you today, I want you to know that all of heaven rejoices over one soul that returns to the Father. And I would love it if in this moment you're willing, if you prayed that prayer, to just put your hand up. Put your hand up. Thank you. 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 Lord Jesus, we worship you. We all come to you. We all need you. Teach us to obey you and to love our brother and sister. If you raised your hand today, I would love to meet with you after church. Come find me. But know this, all of heaven is rejoicing. Lord, teach us to love you and love our brother and sister. Stand with us as we sing the last couple songs.